Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the May 2023 Home Education Conference held in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Awesome, thank you. Again, my name is Sierra, and this is Immersive Learning Through Preschool Play. When I was asked to teach, the two things that I really wanted for the class was one, like, engagement, and also, what's it called? Collaborative learning. Thank you. Because I have only been teaching for 4 years, where I'm sure there are others who have been teaching a lot longer. And not only that, but there are just so many ideas out there that people have, and when we get to share those ideas, we learn better from others. So that's what I really want from this class. I have these sticky notes. I'm going to pass them out, and if you just want to grab a chunk, there's 10 in each little chunk. While I'm going over the different areas, on page 85 is my worksheet, by the way. If you guys want to do it, you do not have to do it. And if there's anything throughout the different areas of reading, writing, math, fine motor, exploring life, or art that you would like to share with the class, then just write it down, and then later when we go and explore the different items that I've brought, you could put it on the little area that it goes with. And then at the end of the class, I will compile them all and then send them in an email back to you if you choose. If you want the email, you could use your note to write your email address, stick it on, and I'll send you the PowerPoint as well as the list so that you don't have to feel like you need to write everything down. You could really just take time to process it and ponder and maybe write down the things that really stick out to you. That makes sense. So I'll pass these around if you don't mind just grabbing one. Yes, absolutely. We learn better from each other. So I'm passing these out so that while I'm talking, if there is something in one of the areas of learning that you've been like, oh, I know this activity or this thing is really cool about this, then you can write it down. And when we go out and try the activities later, you could stick it next to that area, and then I'll compile them all and send it out to you guys. Yeah. Okay. Take just a quick little minute, if you're next to someone, to just kind of chat with them, maybe learn something new about them if you don't already know them, just to kind of get us talking and ready, because later in the presentation we will be chatting again. So get a little ready. Just take a quick minute. And you do not have to use these questions. You can use something different, whatever you want. All right. Thank you, guys. I so appreciate that. I know you guys heard a little bit more or a little about me earlier. I'll just briefly say a couple more things about me. I do have two beautiful children right now. I'll have a third this summer, so I'll have a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a newborn, which will be fun and crazy, and I'm excited. When my daughter was really little, probably 18 months, I was kind of introduced to the philosophy of Montessori, which maybe you guys have heard it, maybe you haven't. I remember learning about it in school when I went to college, but I was not a very good student, and I realized that when I started teaching, and I was like, oh, like those college courses, that really would have actually helped with what I'm doing now. Like, I really should have paid attention to that class better. And so I knew zero about Montessori. I was like, oh, yeah, I think I've heard that name, whatever. And as I kind of started learning a little bit more about it, the thing that I really enjoyed about it was just how tactile it was. And thinking back to when I taught kindergarten, I just thought about like the thousands of worksheets that I printed off for those kids, and we did worksheets, and we, you know, matched papers to papers of like you know, matching colors or whatever. And then when I learned about some activities, I was like, this would be so much better to do, like, with real life things, hands on. This is so cool. So that's something that I have done a little bit more of with my preschool. And so today, a lot of the activities you'll see are Montessori activities. Montessori is definitely not the only way to teach. It is one philosophy. I'm really excited to learn more philosophies as I continue to teach. But hopefully you could kind of find something that maybe resonates with you that you will want to try. So just wanted to say that in the beginning, not the only one, not the only way to teach, but one way. Okay, we're going to start off with a little discussion again, and journaling if you want to journal. If you don't want to journal, just pondering. In your, or on the worksheet, the very first section has two different quotes, and we'll do one quote at a time. So the first one, if you don't want to get your worksheet, I do have it up here. The first quote is, play is the work of the child. So I want you guys to kind of think about that, maybe write down some things that come to you, and then we'll discuss it. Some things that just came to my mind while I was doing this is that play grabs the heart and the mind. And I just loved that, like, visual of just, like, it just gets them. It makes meaning or learning more meaningful and memorable. And then a playful lesson, it's enticing. They'll want to do it again and again. And there's the saying that goes, practice makes permanent. And as they practice it, that's just, those skills are embedded. Okay, our next little journaling discussion is, the hands are the instrument of human intelligence. So just take a minute to ponder that and write down your thoughts. One thing that about this quote that I kind of latched onto was the word instrument. I thought that was just such a fascinating word to use. And I thought about different things. I thought about instruments of, like, playing music, or instruments as, like, the tools that doctors will use. And it just made me think that your hands really are tools. They're how you show the workings of your mind and make sense of what you're thinking and bring thoughts into something permanent. So I thought that was just one thing that I was thinking about. Okay, and we've talked a little bit about this, but have you guys observed these things in your own childhood or in your children, them playing and learning something valuable just from something that they created themselves or decided to play on their own? We're going to kind of start diving in, but before we get there, one of the things I want to talk to you is just about the senses, because the senses are really how we bring in the world and learn through our hands and through our other senses. So here's another quote to do a little journaling slash discussion. The senses, being explorers of the world, open the way to knowledge. I know the last couple things have really been about touch. But I want you to try to think of, like, the other senses that you have that maybe you've been able to explore the world in or seen your child explore, and what that means, like why it's important maybe. So when we work to single out a specific sense, it really requires intention and mindfulness, and it makes it so we're able to use that sense better, but I also think it makes it so we can use our other senses better, because we learned how to isolate the senses. And the senses are really important for learning, not only just like learning about the world, but also learning, like, the foundational skills. And we'll talk about that a little bit later when we get to the different sections, but they really play a role into our learning. I don't know if you guys were in the class yesterday, but it was one of the classes and the lights kept turning off. Were any of you in that one? And I thought it was so fascinating, because as it happened, she kind of, like, her voice kind of quieted, and she just like talked about things, and I was so zoned in to her because I wasn't distracted by, you know, like everything else in the room. I was really looking at her and hearing her voice, and I just thought that was really cool. It was a fun way for me to see that sometimes it's fun to isolate just a single sense and you know, see it come heightened. Let's see. Okay, I want to try for you to isolate each sense. And I mean, taste, we really can't isolate. And I have a bad nose anyway, so I can't really smell anything. But just take a minute, maybe close your eyes and see if there's something different you hear. Or look around, see if there's something that you notice that you didn't notice before. And same thing with touch. Maybe try to feel something like the cushion you're sitting on or something that you're wearing and see what you notice. That's really neat. I thank you guys for doing that with me. It's really neat to kind of pick out what you can see or hear or feel when you're not overwhelmed by everything else. This is something that I really like doing with my preschoolers. I really like doing games that kind of isolate each one of those senses, and it's so fun to just see their reactions. So I'm just going to go over some of them that we've done. There are so many that you could do in each category. But some of the ones we've done for sight are we've done a color matching game, and this is just, what's it called? Contact paper that I put up on the wall so it was sticky, and then we took some different colored pom-pom balls and they sorted them by color, and I even had varied colors within it, so the purple had different shades of purple and different shades of green, and they enjoyed that one. The what's missing game was by far their favorite. We just grabbed a variety of different things and put them in front of us. They probably had like 4 or 5. I didn't want to overwhelm them, and then we covered it with a blanket, and then they'd close their eyes and I'd take one away and then I'd show them again and they'd have to figure out which one was gone. And at first it was a little tricky for them, but they got it and they thought it was just the coolest thing in the whole wide world, and they would just play it with each other, and that was really fun. For touch, a couple of the ones that we've done are a blindfold sorting. So I have these glass pebbles, and I actually brought them today. And some of them are, they're both pretty smooth. One has a little bit more texture than the other, and it's very slight. And even, like, I tried it, and I had my husband try it, and he was like, that was hard, because it really is just, like, a very small difference. But it was fun to just see the kids so focused holding the pebbles in their hands and feeling each one and seeing which one it belonged to, like the really smooth ones or the little rougher ones. And you can do this with anything. You could get some rocks or pine cones or whatever. We also did a mystery bag, and I have that as well in a different bag. When I first did it, it was in a backpack. But put a bunch of different things in, and they'd put their hand in and feel something and tell me what it was before they pulled it out. And it was neat to kind of see what they thought it was. And once they had seen the activity a couple times, they knew immediately, like putting it in, and they're like, oh, I'm holding this. And anyway, it was a fun one. The sound jars for hearing were another beloved one by the preschoolers. I had two sets of jars, one with yellow lids and one with orange lids, and they each had a matching sound. So like there were two with water and two with sugar and two with noodles or whatever. And I tried to pick ones that had difference in sounds, but also I did have two that were really similar in sound. The noodles, and then I also had jingle bells. And when they shook them, they were both just like really loud, and they really had to pay attention. And it was when they like shook it gently that they could hear that one jingled and one didn't. And so that was really cool. One little girl, she I was watching her while she was playing with it, and she took one, I think it was the sugar one, and she shook it and was like, just like she lit up. She was like, I love that sound. She didn't say that, but just like her whole, just like she was so pleased. And it was just really cute to see that reaction. And then I forgot what the hearing, I don't have a picture of this, but there's the whisper game that we did. And you could play this different ways. What I did is I had the kids go into one area of the room and I was in the other, and I had them sit so still. And I just whispered their name very, very quiet. And when they heard their name, they had to come over and sit next to me so quietly. And they loved that one too. You could also play it where, like, you have your child with different objects, and then you whisper the name of an object, like ball. And then they have to bring you the ball and then go back. So that's kind of a fun one. And then blindfold tasting. They did love this. I tried to choose ones that I knew that they had been exposed to a lot. So I did like string cheese and marshmallows and apple. And they just like would taste it and say like, oh, this is a marshmallow. And that was really fun. So these are like just super fun games, but they all are also valuable. Just learning how to isolate the senses and learning how to use your senses to make meaning of different things around you. And then as we get later into the other things, you'll kind of see how some of these senses help us learn like math and reading and other things like that. So we're gonna start the overarching of language. So I did kind of break up reading and writing and activities, but there's so much of an overlap between reading and writing. They kind of go together. So I just wanted to talk about language in general. And just language is the ability to communicate in all forms, and it really takes the cognitive development, a visual development, and an auditory development to be able to use language. And then the process of the development of language, it's really so long and gradual. It starts at birth. It really can't be rushed, and you'll be so amazed at what they just absorb from the world. If you think about like a, you know, one-year-old that is first learning to talk, it's not like you've had specific lessons teaching them like, say car, this is car. They just learn it from the world and always pointing out like, oh, I see a car, or I see a tree, or this is this, and they just learn it. So there is a lot that is just absorbed. And I really like what you said earlier, I don't know your name, but that a lot of times education is just pushed so young and so young, when really they just need to play and they need to have that experience. And language is something that they really do just experience from birth on, and it can be just like a gradual progression as they build skills. Some things to keep in mind when teaching reading and writing. The first one is to emphasize lowercase letters. Sorry, the font is so much smaller. I shouldn't have done that. But if you think about it, a lot of the curriculum or activities out there, they all have uppercase letters, which is understandable because uppercase letters are so different from each other. The kids are able to visualize that, like see the differences. But when you read a book, most of the letters are lowercase. They're not uppercase. So when they really have that foundation of lowercase letters, they're able to make that connection sooner. And the uppercase letters will come with exposure. But just to really, really emphasize those lowercase letters. Kind of going on the same brain thought is that the sound of a letter is so much more important than the name of a letter. And same thing, when you're reading and writing, you're not thinking about the names of the letters as you're seeing them. You're thinking of the sounds that they say. And so when they have that foundation from the beginning, they're able to better build on it. So that's something that I've really done in my preschool is we've just been looking at the lowercase letters, and when I talk about them, I use their sounds. So I'll be like, this is this is t, and that's how they connect to it first, before they learn the name of it. And they learn the names so easily, and from the world around them anyway. Like, I don't think I've ever talked about the names with my daughter, but she all the time is like, there's an X, and like, the S, and I, O, P, Q, and I'm like, great, keep going. And then don't underestimate the importance of building that solid auditory and visual foundation through the senses. When they're able to hear different sounds in the world, they're also able to hear the very slight differences in sounds of letters, of like b, p, any of the sounds. They're just able to pick up those slight differences. The m and the n, those are very similar and very hard to differentiate. But when they have a good foundation strengthening those ear muscles, it makes it easier for them. And same with the visual foundation. Because lowercase letters, there are so many that look similar. If you think about the B, D, P, Q, it's like the same shape. It is a circle and a line, just like in different ways. And so for them to be able to visually discriminate, when it looks like this, it says this. And when it looks like that, it says this. So that kind of goes back to our senses. And then scaffolding is key. And take your time. No need to rush it, but just build upon it and break it down into like the smallest of the small things and just slowly progress. So scaffolding is really going to make the difference. Okay, we're going to talk about writing now and some activities. So writing doesn't begin with learning the ABCs, but it does begin with learning the sounds. Once they have a strong foundation of hearing those sounds, then they'll be able to write and also read. And I'll go over some of the activities that help with those sounds before you even introduce the symbol of letters in a little bit. But another thing to keep in mind when writing is that spelling is not important for them. I know some of you might be cringing like, oh, but I do not want my child spelling this wrong their whole life. And they won't. They'll have lots of time to practice. But at the beginning, we really just want them hearing a word and being able to put that into writing. I do. I start with the short sounds, and the long ones just have a lot of rules connected to them and everything. So I do start with the short, and then just through lessons and practice, then they're able to get those other sounds later. And then something I found that was interesting is it's easier for children to write first. And writing looks different at the beginning than, like, I'm sure you were thinking, because when I was thinking like writing words. But something really cool that Montessori does is they use like letters that they can put out, and so the kids are able to write words, put out letters before they have the strength to actually physically write. So it's easier for children to write ideas from their own creation and their own thoughts than to read something that has been created for them, just because they are thinking it, and I feel like they're a little egocentric still at this age, and they're like very involved in themselves, and if it came from them, they understand it, but if it's just out there, it takes a little bit more time and practice. And then I already kind of talked about this, but the importance of building those skills through fine motor work to strengthen the hand before you really expect them to write with a pencil or anything. And this honestly could be a long process, but it's worth it. It's worth the time. Okay, I'll run through these really fast. Okay, there's some fun writing activities you could do. I spy sounds is where you just like have different objects or like a picture of some objects, and you say, I spy something that starts with B, and they are like, oh, is it the banana? And this is honestly so tricky. My daughter, I've been doing this a lot, and she still has a hard time. And I only give her like 3 objects in front of her, and I make sure they have very different sounds. And it takes practice. So I've got this picture of one of my kiddos, and we had scissors and tape and a marker, and just doing the different sounds of, can you give me something that starts with T, and having her find the tape to give me. Sandpaper letters are, they just have all of the different letters, and this is made from sand, and it's really helpful for them learning the pathway of letters, because they're able to feel it, and I mean, you have to show them, otherwise they'll just like do however they want to. But with enough practice of showing them the way to write a letter, it brings in that tactile experience, as well as the visual of seeing the letter, and they're able to connect that visual piece while also really understanding the writing portion of how to form a letter. So that's something that I've found is really cool. Tracing board I also have over there. It's just like letters that they can use a pretend pencil and like write the letters. Writing in sand is just another way for them to practice writing, or in shaving cream or anything. The movable alphabet I also have over there, and I think I talked about it, was just like the little letters that you have that they can physically manipulate to bring out sounds and to write. If they wanted to write the word cat, they could find the k and the a and the t and put it out before they're able to write. And then also object jars, which are like my favorite. I think they're so fun. Maybe I just, maybe because I just like little tiny objects, but they just have little tiny representations of things like of a cat or a bed, and they have those things and put it out, and then they're able to write b, e, d out next to all the little things. And then they get to the point where they're just able to write from their own creation. They, you know, you can start with the little objects, but then they'll take off once they know, like, oh, I can use sounds to write things. Like, I want to write happy birthday, and they'll just, like, listen to all the sounds and happy and birthday and put it out, and it might not look like happy birthday. It might have just a couple letters, but those are the sounds that they heard. And it's a really cool, it's eye-opening for you two to kind of see what sounds they're hearing and what sounds they're missing when you see what they're writing. Sorry, these are the different, there's the I spy, and then the sand, and then that's the tracing board, that's the objects, and then that's the jars with the words too. So reading. So we already talked about this, is that it begins with visual discrimination because there's so many letters that look so similar. So really strengthening those visual skills so they're able to differentiate slight differences in shape or size or direction. And then reading, when they get to that point, CVC words are a great place to start. CVC is just consonant, vowel, consonant. And not all CVC words are phonetic. There are some like vowel plus Y or vowel plus W or vowel plus R are not phonetic. Because if you think of the word, any of the words there, guy, toy, row, few, her, car, if you think about the sounds, you're not going to get those letters for like g-i. I'm not going to write G-U-Y. The child is probably going to write G-I, G-I. some reading activities. Read books together, absolutely. Letter roll is a game where they have letters. I've used sandpaper letters in the past. I've also used other things. And then they match that exact letter shape to other letters. And this is a fun thing to do, like in a sensory bin. You can have a paper with like some letters written on a paper, and then inside of a sensory bin have other letters from, like, you know, magnetic ones from your fridge or whatever that you throw in there, and they take out the X and they visually match it with the X on the paper. A sound book is just a book after I introduced each sound to a child, and they all moved at different paces. But after a child mastered a sound, then I would just put it in a little book for them. And they put it over in our library, and whenever they wanted, they could just go over and read the book. They would just read the sounds to themselves or to their friends or to me. And that was just a fun way to kind of keep those skills. And they would just choose to do it when they wanted to. Another, let's see, object to word matching. So those are the same jars, but instead of having the object and them physically writing out the sounds that they heard, they had to match it to the paper that said the word. So they would read the word, and then they'd have to find the object that matched that. Scavenger hunt is a fun one to play, where you just write different things around the room, like rug or hat or whatever, and they'd pull it out, and then they'd have to go find that and bring it to you. Verb charades, so you could do like sit or run or hop on little strips, and then they have to act out whatever after they pull it out and read it. The clue game is similar, where you have some objects, but you make them longer words. So you have like a frog and a, I can't think of longer words right now. You have different things with longer words, and you tell the child, like, I'm thinking of something, and I'm going to write a clue for you, and you'll have to guess what I'm thinking. And so you write it, and they might be, like, a little overwhelmed at first, because they're like, this has a lot of letters, and I don't know what you're trying to get me to say. But if you show them, like, even just, like, okay, let's look at the first letter. What does F go with? Oh, the frog. That's the only one that says F. Oh, yes, I was thinking of the frog. And so it gets them kind of looking at longer words, but also connecting that you can think something and write it, and other people can read what you wrote and know what you were thinking. And then even longer is, once they get more words and stuff, you could do, like, phrases that connect to a picture of, like, the cat is wearing a hat, and then there's a picture of a cat wearing a hat, and they match it together. Woo! Oh, sorry, I've gotten so excited about some of these activities, I just need to get through them. So there are different things. There's letter roll that they're doing. That was another letter roll that they liked, pulling out the C and then squirting the C. We pretended we were firefighters. So math. Math at its core is about order and patterns and sequences, and something super vital that we can do to help build the concept at the beginning is just number sense. Learning about numbers and how they relate to others, and you really do that in just a tactile way of not knowing the symbols first, but knowing first what the quantity actually looks like. Oh, I wish I could, sorry, go through all of them. So it starts with just, like, rote counting. They, you know, just counting aloud without anything in front of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, as high as they can. Once they understand, like, the word, name of the word, I'm, like, trying to jump around. Yes, I can email these, yeah. That's true. That's true, yeah.
Do you have time to go through those
things? The things, yes. Yeah, no, we can go ahead and, those activities were a lot of the ones that I talked about. So, yes. Let's end here. So, sorry, I'm trying to think of how to just quickly wrap up. So math, building that foundation, I will send this to you guys if you want. Just write on a little sticky note, stick it up here. Fine motor, just really strengthening that fine motor really helps with writing. There are lots of different activities you could do. One of my favorites that I'll just say really quick is the pumpkin pounding teas. They loved that, which it does the fine motor as well as the gross motor. And then the pumpkin, we took a pumpkin and they had golf tees and a little mallet, and so they had to use their fine motor to like hold the little tees, but then they got their gross motor of like hammering it in. And I did have to pre-drill some holes. I did make them slightly smaller than the tees so that there was some like force getting it in, but it was able to. And then it's so important for kids to just explore life and learn that way. And there's lots of ways to do that. There's just some visiting places, cooking, and then art, just being able to be creative and experiment. And they're not interested in creating projects at the moment. They're interested in the process. They want to mix the Play-Doh and cut a million snips of paper and anything and everything. My favorite way to paint is in the tub. That is the cleanest way, and a way that I'm like, sure, you want to paint? Let's get naked and go into the bathtub. Anyway, thank you guys so much. Please take time to look over there. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. I had way more than I was expecting, but thank you guys for coming.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this record. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.